WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM HD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.
Geo coming to you live for the Bill Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. So I saw this from Zach Rosenblatt's X account. He covers the Jets for The Athletic, and he quote tweeted a video of Nick Bosa speaking to the media that KNBR put out there, which is a sports talk radio station out in San Francisco. So the tagline that KNBR posted was Nick Bosa on facing the Vikings after playing the Jets. So that is just a synopsis of whatever the question was asked. So just keep that in mind. This is Nick Bosa on facing the Vikings after playing the Jets.
This week, I think we're playing a better, honestly, a better team. They're playing better football, it looks like, and they run the ball well, and we're going to have to be better in our techniques. We kind of got away with some things last week. So yeah, we have to hone in and not pat ourselves on the back.
Oof. All right, couple of things here.
Sticking it to the Jets.
I mean, that is a really negative assessment of them in a number of ways. You know, first off, as we know, the Minnesota Vikings are not expected to be very good at all. Most people projected them to finish fourth in their division. Yeah, they beat the Giants, and they beat them soundly, but that doesn't mean that they're going to go on and win the division, go to the playoffs, or any of that. So I still think they're a team that's not looked at favorably. And he comes right out and goes, I think that we're facing a better team this week in the Vikings. And then he also said, now you remember Monday night, pretty much of a bludgeoning 49ers yes. of the Jets. And he goes, we got away with a lot of stuff in that game.
They made mistakes in their eyes.
And they still dominated? I mean, and that's from one of the best defensive players in the game, one of the highest paid defensive players in the game saying that. And that's a peer. I mean, that's not somebody on TV. That's not somebody trying to get clicks and hammering the Jets. That's a peer. That's a great player, basically trashing the Jets.
I can't wait until the Jets and 49ers meet in the Super Bowl. That'd be awesome. Replaying that over and over and over again if you're Rob Saleh.
I would sign for that right now.
Yes.
The Jets in the Super Bowl against the 49ers, bring me there. Let's go down to New Orleans. Let's go to Cafe Dumont.
You ever see like when somebody does a video and says something and then like 5 years later somebody will bring the video back up and say
that didn't age well
because of what's happening.
Yeah.
You know, I think Al Gore said something like the world was going to end like in 2010.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, or something.
Okay.
I don't know. What the hell?
I know what you mean. So you think that this is one of those things?
It could be.
You know, like in December, we'll be looking back and the Vikings will have 3 wins and the Jets will be on their way to the postseason. And
yes.
Nick Bosa saying that the Jets were not as good of a team as the Minnesota Vikings will be laughable. You know, I kind of agree. I don't even think it's going to take till December because if you look at both of those teams' schedules coming up, I mean, the Jets could very easily be 4-1. The Vikings could very easily be 1-4. Just based on the schedule. Now, I know you looked based on the schedule. Everybody had the Cincinnati Bengals 1-0. You don't know. You know, the Buffalo Bills got very close to losing to the Arizona Cardinals, and that was a game that no one expected the Cardinals to win. So, yeah, things do happen, but
To me right now, thinking there's probably about 6 teams that are above everybody else, and then there's everybody else, and then there's 4 teams below everybody else.
Sure.
I mean, and, you know, it goes, I was looking for possible upsets this week with the numbers and everything. I mean, there are like 5 or 6 teams where I could see them winning outright. Forget about the number.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's a lot of lower spreads. You know, but I think some of the bigger ones, like having, you know, I'm doing the knockout pool again this year. I mean, automatically, I think Ravens.
Yeah, the amazing thing is that there were only 2 quarterbacks that threw for over 300 yards, and one had to do it, I think, in overtime, right? I don't know. I don't even know if he had the ball in overtime. But the fact of the matter is just Matthew Stafford and Tua Tagovailoa were over 300 yards.
Yeah, I always feel like the defense is a little bit ahead of the offense early on in the season, the last couple of years. It feels like that.
And then, like, you know, week four or five, he starts these some of these bigger numbers.
I think what ends up happening is guys get hurt. Defenses are struggling to keep up with these flashy wide receivers. I mean, didn't you think, though, after watching Kansas City and Baltimore and then the Eagles and the Packers, you feel like this was going to be like an offensive explosion?
Yeah, sure.
And it didn't turn out that way.
No, it didn't. And by the way, so the Ravens host the Raiders, and that seems to me to be the knockout pick. But there was a there was an open mic at the Raiders facility when they were waiting for the players to go up and speak at the podium, and there was a guy caught on that mic. And the audio is not great, but basically just like trashing the team, how bad they are, how bad Minshew is, and like someone can hear it. I mean, that team does stink. Like, you take Devontae Adams off that team, they've got very little talent.
They need to take Devontae Adams off that team, I keep telling you.
Yeah. So what other knockout pick should I be looking at? Because that's here are the two I'm looking at. The Ravens, and this one's a little bit off the board, but sometimes I like ones that are off the board.
Okay.
Eagles hosting the Falcons.
See, I worry about
coming back from Brazil.
Exactly, but they got the extra day. I kind of worry about playing a team like the Falcons. The Falcons are a good team. And Kirk Cousins, much like the other four quarterbacks that were coming off of major injuries last year, all kind of struggled this week. And, you know, he's feeling it.
I just feel like every time he went to Philadelphia as a Vikings quarterback, he got murdered there.
That's a good thing. So, but I personally like Baltimore.
Yeah, Baltimore's probably the one. It's really no reason to mess around. Baltimore's probably the one.
But then again, everybody else is probably saying the same thing.
Yeah.
What about Chicago at Houston?
Yeah, I know. That's a 6.5-point spread. That Bears defense is just so...
It was Will Levis who gave them a game.
Yeah, I understand.
I mean, you know, they were up 17 points.
Yeah, I wouldn't go there first. I would probably... What about the Lions hosting the Bucks? That's a larger...
The Bucks played them tough last year in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's a larger spread than the Bears-Texans.
The Bucks were close last year in the playoffs with them.
Yeah. I wonder why that number is so high. That's a fishy one.
Fishy.
That's a fishy number, isn't
it?
Seven and a half? Especially the way the Bucks. I mean, the Bucks put up some big points against the Commanders.
You think Malik Willis can lead the Green Bay Packers over the Indianapolis Colts?
I think they could win that game, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a good week to have Malik Willis playing against the Colts.
We'll find out. See, this is where you find out about the coach. This is where you find out whether or not this GM got the right guy in there. I mean, when you're paying Jordan Love all that kind of money, you're picking from like very cheap alternatives as your backup, and this is where the insurance policy comes in. Here's your first insurance policy for a team that was projected to make it to the playoffs because of their success last year and because of their quarterback.
Yep, that's right. And I mean, if you're a Green Bay Packer fan, you got to feel like you completely dodged a bullet. Because to me, with that turf, the way things were going in that game, and that slow motion of his knee like popping a little bit, I thought he was done for the year. And it looks like he might not even have to go on IR. He's not on IR right now, Jordan Love, so he could be back in a couple of weeks. I mean, that is huge.
He's a young kid, so I would think maybe he misses three games.
Any news on McCaffrey this week, by the way?
I've not seen anything yet.
That's going to be another one of those game time decision type of things, right?
Yeah, you know, I could see Kyle Shanahan saying, you know what, let's hold him out just a little, maybe one, maybe two more games.
Yeah, and you know,
take it easy with him. Let's just ram Mason right up in there. We got the guy that's got to put his foot in the ground and go 100 miles an hour straight ahead.
Get up in there. You also saw the designation that they put on him, which is something that you've been talking about now for years. Calf Achilles.
Yep. Got to be careful with that.
So that, I mean, they put both of those things on there.
Yeah, this is why Giannis Antetokounmpo didn't play in the playoffs because, you know, he had a calf strain.
Mm-hmm.
And then that calf strain, all right, let's come back a little bit early, and next thing you know, the Achilles pops.
Yep.
So especially with the all these Achilles injuries that have started to happen over the last 3 to 4 years, I think, you know, trainers and doctors are all being really, really careful when there is a calf injury involved.
Well, we saw it with Aaron Rodgers last year, unfortunately, up close and personal. Dealt with a little bit of a calf injury in training camp, and then week one, obviously, we saw it.
I wonder if that's part of the documentary.
Yes. Enigma. Aaron Rodgers' enigma.
Yes.
Manny is in Bloomfield. Good morning, Manny.
Yeah, good morning, Gio. Boomer, I mean, we sat here listening to you bang your desk, trying to get rid of Eli Manning, and you're making every excuse for Daniel Jones. You, Tiki Barber, John Mara, we Giants fans are tired. It's been 6 years, Boomer. How many years we got to lose to the Eagles and the Cowboys? And now the Washington has their quarterback now, so we're going to lose to them now. Like, Boomer, I'm sick of sitting down Sunday morning. I spend money on chips, beer, wings, and I watch them crap every Sunday. Like, it's demoralizing. You wait all week for this. And there's no energy in this team. You sit there and you guys just keep making excuses. My head is about to explode.
Well, I let you say what you wanted to say, Manny, and I appreciate your honesty. That's the way you take what I said. I don't know if you just heard my sports minute. I don't know if you understand what uninspiring performance means. I can't be any more honest than I have been about Daniel and how Brian Daboll has to bring the most out in him. I actually used an example of the way that Jim Harbaugh is dealing with Justin Herbert and looking for that fire in his gut and basically telling you that that's what I believe Daniel's been missing. I don't necessarily know that that's an excuse.
Yeah, I think Manny is fed up with Daniel Jones. He's heard a lot of people over the years sort of defend him and then misconstrued what you said this morning because his emotions are high with how bad the Giants have been.
Here's my only excuse part of Daniel Jones. If you want me to try to give you a man who's walked a mile in his shoes, although I didn't suffer from injuries like Daniel has, so I can't speak to that and how that impacts a player and his mindset. I was one of the fortunate ones that never had a surgery, never broke a bone, never had a knee injury. I had a couple shoulder separations and maybe a concussion 4 or 5. Who knows? Maybe 10. But the point is that there has been a lot of instability around him from coaches, the players, and I think both John Mara and I agree when they hired Brian Daboll and he said, hey, we screwed this guy's up 6 ways to Sunday. And I agree with that because of the instability around him and the moving parts around him, including the players and coaches. That, to me, is definitely a problem that Daniel's had to deal with. But he did deal with that because he took this team to the playoffs in 2022.
Yeah, he did, and that essentially set them back for years. I mean, if that season had gone in a different direction, we wouldn't be sitting here talking.
What happens if Daniel Jones plays all 17 games last year and he doesn't get hurt?
Yeah, I mean,
that's really, you know, a big part of this is his two major injuries that he suffered.
Well, yes, but the way that I think we tend to forget that Daniel Jones played last year and he was 1-5 and he looked horrible.
That's so what I'm saying.
But
I don't want to finish your sentences, but this is why I said that last year's Cowboys game was more alarming to me than this year's Vikings game. Because the lack of competitive fire and spirit in the team,
yeah,
which is brought on by, number one, the coach, and number two, the quarterback. Unless you have a player like Mike Singletary or Ray Lewis or Rod Woodson, or you have some just amazing defensive player in the middle of your defense, like Fred Warner for San Francisco, or what C.J. Mosley is for the Jets when he's healthy and he's in the middle of the defense.
See, I think both of those games are exactly the same. It's just that the opponent was better last year than this year. Like, the Vikings beat the Giants 28-6, and the Cowboys beat the Giants 40-0. And I sort of feel like the Cowboys are 12 points, you know, better than the Vikings were. And, you know, like, I think it's the same thing. I just think that they got their asses handed to them in week one, And he looked like hell in both of those games.
And plus, it's Dak Prescott, the highest paid player in league history, going against Sam Darnold. You know, those two quarterbacks, right, and the offense, and Sam is first time in Minnesota. And doing
was that
what
game
he
in Dallas or?
No, it was home.
Yeah, it was home. So was both home. Games were home. Yeah.
I would imagine that the Giants are going to ask for away games next year, just like the Jets did this year.
Yeah. Start Shedeur Sanders on the road. Is that what you're saying?
I think Shedeur is going to Las Vegas.
Yeah, maybe.
If I had to guess, and Vegas Raiders have a top five pick, that's who they're taking.
Yeah,
and Deion would be very happy with that.
I mean, that'd be showtime out there, man.
All right,
Deion, Shedeur, our king, Mark Davis.
That would be like the perfect fit from my perspective.
Mark Davis is one of those guys I'd love to, and we didn't get a chance to while we were out in Vegas, but I'd love to sit down with that guy, interview that guy. I think he's a fascinating individual. Love to talk to that guy. If he gets Shedeur Sanders and Shedeur turns out to be a star, Mark's earned it. He deserves it. He has, man.
Yeah, well, it'd be interesting.
He's been through that meat grinder out there.
Yeah, well, there are certain places where certain players need to go. I don't necessarily know that Antonio Pierce is the right coach or not yet. We still have to see more from him, although he made what I think was a pretty glaring error this week. But we'll see whether or not Antonio is the guy that's going to be there, because I don't think that team's going to be any good.
Let's go to Brendan in Wantacue. What's going on, Brendan?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, man.
Gio, I wanted to talk to you about those survivor pool picks, man. Yeah. You gotta shy away from picking those heavy favorites early in the season. You got to grab somebody like the Chargers, who you know are probably going to put a beat down on Carolina this weekend.
Yeah, I know. I mean,
that's a heavy favorite, right?
5.5, but they're on the road. I just don't, you know, I have somewhat of a formula of, like, I don't like taking road teams if I don't have to, you know?
I get that, but you also got to take those teams that are a fringe team when you know they're going to win the game. You don't want to get to week 10 and not have your Chiefs, your Ravens, your Eagles.
Well, here's the thing, Brendan, and tell me if this changes your mind. This particular pool I'm in is a very large pool, and it's run differently. You're allowed to pick any team any week.
You guys don't eliminate one?
No, so you can't. It's basically, which is amazing, because like hundreds of people went out with the Bengals in week one. But yeah, and it usually comes down still at the end to like 5, 6, 7 people. But yeah, if I wanted to pick the Kansas City Chiefs every single week, I could pick the Kansas City Chiefs every single week.
And you pick whoever you want, Gio.
Yeah, see, there you go. There you go. All right, so let me ask you a question. When you pick, when you get down to the end of the season, is there something that separates everybody, or?
Well, I'll give you an example. The year that I was one of 8 or 9 that split a large amount, it was 2019, week 17, and most of the people that were left picked one of two games. It was the Dolphins up in New England, and Ryan Fitzpatrick was a quarterback of the Dolphins at the time. Tom Brady was still with the Patriots, and the Packers at the Lions. And Aaron Rodgers was still the quarterback there. Obviously, the Lions were not very good. I ended up picking the Packers and the Lions. Most of the pool went with the Patriots against the Dolphins. And in week 17.
And the Dolphins won that game.
Yeah. Yes. Ryan Fitzpatrick, fourth quarter, down the field, touchdown. And it was like.
That's why everybody's so annoyed at Ryan Fitzpatrick all of a sudden.
Yeah, and then Aaron Rodgers to Davante Adams in the fourth quarter there. It was just like, bing, bang. Oh, it was crazy. And I was at the place watching it.
So how many people had the Packers?
There were like 9 of us.
Oh, 9 of you guys had the Packers.
And there were like 40 that had, yeah, the Patriots.
So at the end of it all, 9 people split the pot?
Yeah, which was, yeah, that tends to be a large one.
So. Oh, okay.
So there was it was a good day. It's a good day.
I guess there's really no other way to break that. I guess make it a little bit more difficult right there. Like if it's that many people left.
I'm telling you, it sounds crazy, but when you get to the end, there's not a lot of people left, even with this format.
Well,
it's not
right now,
easy.
At least half of them had to be knocked out.
Yeah. I mean, it's not easy. to just pick one winner every week. I mean, I think you got down to the, like last year, I think four people split it. Four people out of like 400 that enter. It's insane. It might be even a little more than that. It might be like 1,000 people. I'm not even sure. All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
It's the morning show with Boomer and Geo.
Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Lots of baseball action last night and yesterday afternoon with the Mets. And Jerry's here to go through it with us. What's up, Jerry?
Morning, brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. Also brought to you by Jack Pocket. Order official state lottery games on your phone with Jack Pockets. Obviously, the Francisco Lindor home run gets all the attention, but a very big home run hit just a few batters later as well.
Swinging a drive in the air to center and deep. Marshall racing back. This one is gone! Oh, there's that titanic power from Francisco Alvarez to double the lead. A three-run bomb straightaway center. 6-1 Mets.
And that was Keith Radd and Odyssey Mets Radio. 6-2 would be the final score. Mets were being no-hit into the night by Bowden Francis, and that's when Francisco Lindor had game-tying home run. Several batters later, Alvarez, the three-run shot. It was Pete Alonso that got in the go-ahead run with a sac fly to right, and the Mets come up with a win where they were about to lose. Sean Manaea, no decision, 6 2/3, one-run ball. Here was Alvarez post-game, the mindset in that at-bat for the home run.
I just was thinking about looking for fastball and tried to hit in the bottle, that's it.
And that was on the post-game show on Mets Odyssey Radio again. In terms of... Well, let's do Lindor here because obviously it's a big home run. It was on September 11th, and after the game, he did want to acknowledge the heroes of 9/11 on SNY.
Today we're playing for the sanitation, the fire department, the police department, all the people that actually do hard job in life. My job is, my problems in baseball are Disney problems, so thank you for all you guys that take care of us, and much love.
And that's how
about a guy who gets it, man.
Yeah.
You could add him into the mix of guys we're fortunate to have in New York sports right now with Jalen Brunson and Aaron Judge and Francisco Lindor this season has turned into every bit of the guy that we thought we were getting in the trade and the big contract.
No doubt.
Long way from the days of Javi Baez.
Oh, my God, with thumbs down. And,
yes.
Oh, yeah, you're right, man. I tell you, and, you know, he obviously did some growing himself, Francisco Lindor, since he got here, because he was a part of that whole deal.
But, you know, the thing for him is that all of us as fans are finally seeing him live up to his contract.
Yeah.
And then some.
That's what it's all about. And the fact that he's in the MVP conversation and he hits a big home run late in a season like this, if they can finish strong and make it to the playoffs, he'll be a beloved player because of what he's doing on the field.
They'll be in Philadelphia over the weekend starting tomorrow. As it is right now, a game ahead of Atlanta for the third wild card as the Braves lost to the Nationals 5-1. I saw this thing, MLB.com had the article. The Rangers play the Mariners this weekend, starting tonight, four-game series. Texas's starting pitchers for the next 3 days. Kumar Rocker, mm-hmm. Remember him?
Yeah, of course.
Jacob DeGrom, and then Max Scherzer.
How
about wow. Those are yep. The next three, yeah.
That Mets nostalgia. Kind
of is this, how many has... Jake pitched?
No. It'll be his season debut. He's been in the minors. And then Scherzer pitches on Saturday afternoon, I believe it
is. So we were talking about Kodai Senga this morning. I saw an updated article on him.
Yeah.
That he may be back the last week of the season.
Yeah, there's a chance. Yeah.
And not as a starter, but they think, you know, maybe as a reliever. He basically said that if I can come back, I'll do anything that they're asking me to do. And Carlos Mendoza said if he's ready to come back, then we'll take him back.
Or possibly an opener also.
But yeah, it could be that as well.
Limited pitch count, as they say.
Because of a calf injury.
Mm. Yeah, well, that's true. That was that Friday night against Atlanta, right? That's when that was?
Yes.
Yeah. And again, the Mets did win. Yankees beat the Royals 4-3. Last turn at bat in the 11th.
2-1. Jazz grounds it. Diving stop lit. Throw to the plate. Not in time. It's wide. Birdie scores. Jazz Chisholm wins the game. And the Yankees walk off the Royals 4-3-11.
Yeah, that was...
He called them Chisholm.
That was Emmanuel Lavari with the call here on the Fan. Jazz Chisholm, the game winner. Now, earlier in the game, Juan Soto had a huge swing, and he is our thriving player of the game for it.
Torres off first. He's a tying run. 2-2.
Driven deep to right field. Way back. How about Juan Soto? Halfway up the bleachers, he goes down in pain and inflicts pain on that baseball.
Yes, he did.
Juan Soto!
Right after that, he really turned, because the Yankees were dead up to that point. Hits the big home run. Thriving player of the game, brought to you by ThriveWell, New York's premier infusion and injection center. Visit ThriveWellInfusion.com. Now, as for the team, they go to 84-62, game and a half ahead of Baltimore for first place. Here was Chisholm, says we are finding ways to get this done.
We know we're not playing to our ability right now. No, nobody's hot right now. Caps cooled off a little bit. Soto went into a little rut, but this is how you stay together. This is a championship team, and this is what we do. We grind it out, and we win games. You know what I mean? No matter who's down and who's up, we're going to win games, and this is how you do it.
Well, Cap better figure it out, and I understand the guy's one of the best players I've ever seen, but he,
you're right.
Back in 2022, a similar thing happened. And he was on a tear. Then it took him a while to get to 62. And then in the postseason, he was horrendous.
Yeah.
So you can't blame anybody for wondering if we're going to see a similar script this year. So getting him back and hitting before the postseason starts is critical for them. Of course, it's obvious, but it's just you would not think you'd have to worry about him.
A little concern.
But concern. I mean, it's just he does not perform well at this point of the year.
Yankees now lead the Orioles by a game and a half as they lost to Boston 5-3. Boston and the Yanks starting tonight for 4. All right, a couple more from the Shannon Sharp issue as he had the sex on...
we need Minko today.
Time more on the Shannon Sharp issue. He had the sex on the internet.
Yeah, I mean, the sounds addressing of sex.
Right. Tomorrow is today. Today is the sex.
Over 3 million Instagram Live people could have heard the sex. Here was Sharp on the Nightcap podcast. And this is about as honest as can be. It's 25 seconds as he basically says, we're not hiding it. We know what it was, and I'm coming clean.
My phone wasn't hacked. It wasn't a prank. It was me being a healthy, active male. I mean, y'all thought I was bull jiving. Hey, I'm gonna get it in. Real talk.
Oh, hey,
Ocho, see, I don't, man, I'll be lying. I'm lying. Okay, hey.
Come on, man.
He sparks hard, Ocho. And, you know, I hit one early this morning.
Yes, which is something I've said for a long time. You know, I've said to Boomer just in this... In this last break, I said, you thought I was bull driving. Gio, get it in. That's what I told him. I said, that's right.
Yeah.
Get some sparks going in the morning.
Here was Ocho. Quite bizarre, this whole thing.
Honestly, I mean, I'm in a tough spot. I'm baffled. You, Unc. Would pull something so out of character, you know, let's be honest, a little unprofessional.
Yeah.
I'm not mad. I'm thoroughly disappointed.
And that's him giving it back to him about the unprofessional stuff. About him being late.
Yeah, it's all tongue-in-cheek. Yep.
Which was funny. Deshaun Watson met the media Wednesday. This is an interesting question, fine, but the answer is interesting. He was asked, why should fans and the organization still believe in you after this latest allegation now, on top of so many that we've heard in the past?
You know, I can't speak for the fans. I can't speak for anybody outside this building. But I know that, you know, hearing from the Haslams and AB and those guys, I know that they tell me each and every day that they, you know, support me and they got my back and that they want me to focus on being the best quarterback I can be.
Yeah, I'll tell you, just watching him and just watching post-game press conferences and things, he just looks miserable. I mean, just looks miserable. Looks unhappy.
I will tell you, he looks miserable on the field Sunday.
Yeah, I know. He's playing unhappy. Again, this, you know, you got to have joy when you're playing a game and you're on a good team. They got good players around you. They got great defense.
Instead, he looked like horse ass.
Yes, according to Jerry, yes.
I did. He did not play well. He missed a lot of open receivers, he did look like horse ass.
The problem, you know, and he's another one. I mean, just so inaccurate, which is, and listening to Tom Brady do his game, I don't know how Tom Brady got through the game without really, truly ripping into him because of the way that he was playing.
Yeah, he's getting his feet wet, you know.
Jets are in Tennessee Sunday. Giants visit Washington. Here's Daniel Jones. A lot of questions yesterday, as you can imagine, about the criticism that he has taken, what he hears, and he says, I just can't get caught up in it.
I've said a number of times I'm concerned about the people in this building, and you know, I think I got plenty of help, plenty of good coaching, plenty of good teammates to work with here. That's what I'm focused on.
Mm-hmm. You stink.
He stands up, takes the questions, answers them clearly. Doesn't really get involved in any sort of controversy and just takes it on. I appreciate that and respect that.
Well, you better go win Sunday to earn some respect. And then did you guys mention the Joe Buck thing?
Yes.
Oh, so did you play the stuff or no?
I didn't play it. I explained it to Boomer.
All right, so here's Joe Buck. He does a social post in his car with his wife next to him, who I guess is out of surgery and leaving the hospital. So the backstory is they were in Cabo San Lucas. She's doing cartwheels, which apparently are whatever, handstands, because she's done them her whole life.
She was a Denver Bronco cheerleader, I believe. And she was also a TV personality for the NFL Network.
Right. Michelle
Beisner-Buck.
Fine. Right. So I guess she's off to the side as he's teeing off on the 10th hole and then proceeds to basically blast her ankle.
At the exact moment that I was teeing off, she decided with her feet in the air to do the splits, thereby dropping her right leg a little bit to the side, right in my line of fire, and I hit a golf ball, tailor-made with little designs on it, into the inside of her right ankle and shattered it.
Yeah, and then here she was, because she's in the car with him. She says, no blame, but damn.
And it's not his fault. It was a freak accident. But not only was it a shatter and an impact break, but there's a nerve that runs right under your ankle bone called the tibial nerve. And it goes right under your ankle through your foot. That was severely damaged.
Oh, this God. Was like 2 months worth of the surgery, rehab, and she's still rehabbing it now.
See, I was telling you this yesterday. Gio wanted to have a little horseplay on the golf course yesterday. I was like, no. We don't do horseplay on the golf course. We play golf. We focus in. We have to stay focused and don't be distracted by anything.
Horseplay.
Yeah. No horseplay.
What was the horseplay?
He's going to have to remind me. I don't remember horseplay. I remember playing horribly. I remember playing like horse's ass. I don't remember horse play exactly. Mm. Don't mess around.
All right, fair enough.
Just don't mess around. You got to focus.
Got to focus.
Like you, Jerry.
Yes, focus. And the Aces beat the Fever 86-75. After the game, Caitlin Clark was asked if she will be endorsing Kamala Harris like Taylor Swift did, to where she gave a nice answer of just get out and vote. And you vote for
She did like the post. I did some more research on that because she didn't answer yesterday, but she did like the post, Taylor Swift post of endorsing.
Yeah, that don't mean it. That's fine. She gave a very mature answer, though.
No, I know, but I mean, that's like why people like
something that means that you like the actual post. Sometimes it's like a bookmark almost.
I don't know if you want to go back and reference it.
My point is that you can save it if you want or send it to yourself, but if you like it, that means you're endorsing it.
Disagree.
Especially if someone's endorsing a candidate, though, in that big, long thing. Guess. Someone likes it. I mean,
maybe.
I mean, you know, Brittany Mahomes got, you know, thrust into the spotlight by liking a Donald Trump thing.
And by the way, good for both of them. Good for Taylor. Good for Brittany Mahomes. Good for everybody.
Good for everybody.
Whoever you want to vote for, vote for.
I still thought it was a very mature answer from her.
We have losers. We have losers.
There you go.
Do you have the black population one there, Eddie, by any chance? That's
you know who embraced it than anybody else? The black population. It's incredible.
The
black people walking around with my mugshot. You know, they do shirts.
The one that was...
What a world.
They're eating the dogs.
What a world.
They're eating the dogs.
They're eating the dogs. The people that came in, they're eating the cats. They're eating the pets.
Right, Eddie?
No, sir.
Right,
oh. Oh, God,
that's great.
All right. Good job, Jerry. We'll see you next hour. It's Boomer and Geo coming to you live at the Bill Ford Tough Studio.
It's the morning show with Boomer and Geo.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. I found a solution for Al Dukes, who said that he's having a tough time going to restaurants these days. He said that it's not the same for him. The service isn't as good. The food isn't as good. And I love going to restaurants. I still go to restaurants. But I saw something on the news actually this morning where I'm like, this is perfect. This will get Al Dukes back in a restaurant. It's a Japanese restaurant here in the city that refuses to take a tip. You cannot leave a tip at this restaurant, so much so that if you do, they will chase you down and give you your money back. And they actually interviewed a customer who left a tip, and then the employee said, no, and ran back and handed the cash. You will not tip us here. And the reason why they're doing this is because they want it to be an authentic Japanese experience all the way to the business side, where you just do not tip at Japanese restaurants. So they want to make it everything exactly the same, so you can't tip. So if you're looking for a new place to go, that's your place, Al. And I'm wondering, you know, maybe does this catch on with other restaurants? And then all of a sudden, bang, the no tipping explosion has happened. Because this place, super successful right now.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to catch on. Because restaurant owners just pass that on to the customers. Like, this Japanese restaurant now has to pay actual hourly wage as opposed to $3 an hour or whatever it is.
And the way that the staff works is there's not one particular server for a table. It's just like, it's this very well-oiled machine that they have that everybody does something else. So if you go in there as an employee, you're not just a server. Like, you've got to do everything. You got to know front of house, back of house.
And by the way, they're probably paid as such.
They are.
You know, they're paid very well. And that's why. And so, yeah, you'll see that in your bill for sure. But it also just basically the awkwardness or the unhappiness of giving a tip like you have. Maybe you should go here and check it out and see. Do you like Japanese food?
I do.
You like sushi?
Yes, I do.
All right.
So there you go.
Here's another tip from Al Dukes.
Oh. hold on. I have to find it again, but let's see if it comes right up. Let's see. No tip restaurants. How a Japanese ramen spot. Ichiran. Ichiran is the name of the place, and it is in Midtown, which I know isn't ideal for Al, but no
tipping.
We could
get that down in Asbury Park. I'm in.
Ichiran at Asbury Park.
Ichi, gichi, ya, ya, da, da.
You don't put the tip in.
Yeah, I mean, it's I do have to say, and I'm an over-tipper. Gina gets mad with the over-tipping.
Listen, but, Al, you can go, you're going to take this tip.
you're going to take this tip.
This is just the tip.
But one thing I will say is when they flip around a iPad screen and ask for a tip in a situation where you're just getting a cup of coffee or something like that.
Yep.
That's too much.
Like at the counter. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Or picking up takeout.
Yeah. They flip the thing around and then it's like, hit this for 22%. It's like, come on. Brian in Westchester. What's going on, Brian?
Gentlemen, how are you this morning?
Great, man. What's up?
I'm a restaurant owner, and I wanted to touch base on all of Al's issues with restaurants and all the different problems he has with the food, with the tipping, with the wages, with everything. This industry has been ravaged over the last 4 years, starting with COVID and then all of the expenses that have gone through the roof. What is Al's problem? Do you realize how the finances work within restaurants and how
I don't.
We're able to charge what we charge?
No, so here's so here's how I do the math in my head, and you tell me how it's different. So you don't have to pay the waiters and waitresses full hourly wage, okay?
Right. Do you know what that wage is or no?
I don't.
Okay. So within New York, that tip-based minimum wage is $10.65 an hour. So the way that that's justified is that the minimum wage within New York City, Westchester, Nassau County is $16 an hour. So we're allowed to pay $10.65 an hour, considering the fact that they'll make up the extra $5.35 an hour from tips based on customers coming in and whatever the case is. So it's not a huge discount like it used to be 20 years ago. We used to be able to pay $3 an hour or whatever. Now it's up to $10.65 an hour. New York State raised that rate. It's not to help the employee. The problem was is that the servers and the tip-based employees were not making enough money within their paycheck for New York State to get their taxes. So these people would work 40 hours a week. They would make their earnings. And then the problem was is that New York State didn't have enough money within that check to take out their taxes. So they raised the hourly rate for these tip-based employees. These tip-based employees don't see any more money. The more you raise it, it's just so they can get their more of their tax revenue. So I have employees right now working 40 hours a week at $10.65 an hour. That's, you know, whatever that it comes out to be, $440, $430 a week. Their net checks at the end of the week are literally $100 simply because they get taxed on their tips as well. So I can't sell, if I was to have to pay $16 an hour, which is minimum wage, which no one's going to work for in this industry. So let's just argumentatively say that I can pay $16 an hour and not have people, customers come in and tip. They're going to come in and I'm literally going to have to charge $42 for a chicken dish. I mean, it's just every restaurant.
But that's what a chicken dish is, $42 now. That's the whole.
Well, listen, I don't know where you're going. I can tell you my restaurant's up in Westchester. We pride ourselves in not ripping people off. And you put yourself in a situation where we have no choice. But, I mean, the margins within this industry are razor thin. And if we had to go and pay these people $20 an hour, every restaurant within the United States, literally, with any sort of waiter service, would be closed down.
Al, do you feel like
restaurants wouldn't exist?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Brian. Al, do you feel like a lot of the places that you went to in the summer when you had this take were seasonal places that try to make their money most of the time in the summertime?
No, because they're like that in the winter, too. It's like a salmon. If you want salmon, it's like $42. And if you buy a piece of salmon in the store, it's, let's say, $9.
You have so many other costs that come along with running any sort of business. Right. And I respect everybody's opinion and I love you guys. I mean, I listen to you guys every morning and I've been with you for years. And I really appreciate everybody's take and everybody's ideas and whatever. I'm just saying from my point of view in this industry, it is impossible to eliminate what has been the norm in how things are charged and how things are paid. Because restaurants literally would no longer exist. And Al, I appreciate what you're saying about going to places that are ripping you off at $42 for a piece of salmon. I have four restaurants up in Westchester County, and all four restaurants, my salmon dish is no more than $31. Mm. Okay, we pride ourselves in stuff like that because we don't want to rip people off because we know what people are going through.
You know, Brian, let me ask you this question. Forget about the employees for a second. We all know what those costs are. But what about, I don't know, like your insurance premiums for the four restaurants that you have to protect just in case of fire or something of that nature?
Ridiculous. Absolutely.
And they keep going up, right?
Yeah, and the best part about it, Booms, is they keep going up. We don't file any claims. Mm. I'm going to say within the last 10 years, the only claim that we filed in regards to any sort of insurance was a blown compressor for an HVAC system. That blew because of a electrical